That. Okay, praise the Lord. We've been getting into, are we on? No. I think we are on. I think we're supposed to be on. The only problem they had was the texting. Are we on, Dersham? I'm hot. Hola, ¿cómo está? Well, that's weird. When you hear yourself like that, it's kind of funky. All right, so we've been getting into the anointing. The anointing is so much fun. The anointing is the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. Everybody say that with me. Perpetual propulsion of the power of God. What does that mean? Perpetual, which perpetual mean? It's never stopping. Perpetual, going forward. Perpetual propulsion. What's propulsion? Perpetual propulsion of the power of God. I love that. That's the definition of the anointing. The anointing is not the Holy Spirit. The anointing is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. So we want to talk about the Holy Spirit and how to increase the presence of the Lord. Now, we talked about it. Every believer is anointed. Turn to someone and say, I'm anointed. What page are you on? We're on page 95 for those who are in the blue book. Now, if you were in the newer blue book, what page was it on? It's two. And page 100. So 95 and 100. So here we are. We're talking about how every believer, 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, makes the declaration, for you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from Jesus abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and it is true, and it is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. So we talked about how the anointing, where the anointing was first exercised in Jesus, to remind you that Jesus was a man. The Bible says that he was all man and all God in the same body. And what happened was he gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and be a man. That's found in Philippians chapter 2. And so he gave up all of his heavenly power to come down here and to live as a human. Now, the reason he did that was so that he could be a Messiah. He would be a Messiah that would understand everything that we're going through and feeling. That's found in the book of Hebrews. So he is a Messiah that understands what we're going through, the temptations, the trials. We look at Christ's life and we see that at 12 years old, he was in the temple. If everybody remembers the story about Jesus in the temple. But other than that, we don't see Christ until we see the baptism. Now, I want to show you that Jesus did not do the mighty miracles because he was God. He did the mighty miracles because he was the Son of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was the Son of Man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 makes the declaration how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Why did he word it that way? Because he wanted us to understand that it's Jesus of Nazareth, that Jesus was a man. Remember, he gave up all of his heavenly glory, all of his heavenly power, come down here and live as a man. Jesus did all the miracles and the signs and wonders that he did because he was anointed of the Holy Spirit, not because he was God. If Jesus did them because he was God, then we could not be like Christ, because we're not God. So Jesus came, did all these things as a man anointed of the Holy Spirit. And that's why he said in the book of John chapter 14, and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Not greater as in better, greater as in quantity. We can do more works because Christ went and sat at the right hand of the Father. And just as Jesus was anointed on this earth, now because we're born again, if you're saved, say, I am.
I am.
If you're born again, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Romans chapter 8, dwells inside of you. So if the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, who's the giver of the power? Oh, stay with me now. Who's the giver of the power? The Holy Spirit. So where does the Holy Spirit abide? What's the word abide mean? Resident. He's resident and with you. So all the power of heaven is where? Well, I'm just kind of waiting on it. You don't have to wait on it. The power's where? Come on, stay with me now. The power's where? Resident. So it's not like, you know, some people walk around, well, I've got to go pray about this. You don't got to pray about it. Where's the power? Come on, where's the power? Listen, you better get a hold of this quick now, because I'm stubborn. The power's within you. So that means that because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, all the power you need to succeed, the anointing, is dwelling, resident inside of you. So as you and I are born again, it brings a tremendous change from the old covenant to the new covenant. Remember, we talked about this last or 2 weeks ago. In the old covenant, the anointing would come upon the people. It would come upon mainly only three people groups. The kings, the prophets, and the priests would not come upon the believers. But in the new covenant, everybody shout amen.
Amen.
You're part of the new covenant. In the new covenant, the Holy Spirit dwells where?
Inside.
So the Spirit of God will still come upon you, but the Spirit of God dwells in you. Therefore, the power doesn't need to just to come upon you, but the power comes out of you.
Amen.
And this is where, as believers, there's a necessity to grab a hold of this. Why is it so important? Because so many, we called it papal. How many remember when we called it papal? Papal was the priests in the time. In about 300 AD, Constantine came into rule, and there was a division at that point in time between the papal, or the priests, and the people. And they took the Bibles away from the people, saying that the papal, or the priests, were the only ones that could understand. And so what happened was, there was a loss in the body of Christ. The people no longer were who God had called them to be. Who has God called you to be? God has called you to do this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. How many of you believe?
Amen.
These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils.
Yes.
They shall speak with new tongues.
Yes.
They shall have divine protection.
Yes.
And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. How does that happen? That happens not by our might, for it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. So what's happened when the papal and the priests made the Bible of none effect to the people, is the devil eliminated the body of Christ from doing the works of God. So the church became weak. Why? Because just a few people were doing the works of God. Listen, I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. I got a job to do, and you got a job to do. If I don't do my job, you can't do yours, and if you don't do yours, I can't do mine. So let's stop playing the game of religion, and let's get this thing done. That is because every one of us are anointed by the same Holy Spirit that Jesus has.
Amen.
You see these big guys on TV, they move in the power of God? You have the same Holy Spirit. The anointing of heaven resides inside of you. So the reality that we need to embrace is the truth of heaven. I just sensed the anointing just started being poured out here. The reality of the anointing must be understood, because when the believers don't believe that they're anointed, then what happens is we are people that sit back and the power is never released. But it's the power of God that changes a life, not religion. It's the power of God that changes and heals bodies, not a tradition. God wants to use you supernaturally. Because that's who you are. The supernatural is natural.
Yes, it is.
The supernatural is natural. Where there is no supernatural power of God being released in a church, especially, it's not natural. It's strange. Now, the quicker you wrap your head around that, the quicker you understand the plan and the plot of God. For God made the declaration through Paul the Apostle, I don't come to you with the excellency of speech, but I come to you with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, so that your faith will not be built upon the wisdom of man, but upon the power of God. Paul also made the declaration that it's not just about words, but the kingdom, the gospel, comes in word and in power. Well, we always look at the preachers. That's the preacher's job. No. That's every one of our jobs. And every bit of the power of God dwells inside of you. So what's happened is, until we get the believers to believe, then everything that your friends need remains encapsulated inside of you, And they never get touched. Well, I'm just, you know, I just go to church and, you know, I don't really know a lot. And, you know, I'm just a nice person. You got to break that mentality because that's just downright foolishness. You're a son or daughter of God. You're anointed of the Holy Spirit and are powerful. You are supernatural. There's nothing you cannot accomplish. When you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. When you get out of bed, the devils shake and shiver. When you step into the power of heaven, everything shifts and moves because the anointing that abides within you, the anointing that is resident within you, has the same supernatural power that Jesus had when he was here on this earth. And greater works shall you do if you believe. Amen. So when we start recognizing how the anointing is increased, how the anointing is released out of you, then wherever you are, you don't even have to tell anybody. You can just release the power of God. And all of a sudden, the anointing just starts changing the atmosphere. You see, that's who you are. Who you're not is just some nice, just a nice little person. You know, I just go to church. No, that's not who you are. Who you are is a supernatural, power-packed, Holy Ghost-filled son and daughter of heaven that God says, I'm sending you as salt and light into this world, and you're going to change people's lives. For it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the anointing is the anointing destroys every yoke of bondage.
Amen.
So wherever you go, you're the answer. I got to say that again because I just got a bunch of eyeballs that went, eh. Wherever you go, you're the answer. Every single person's problem, if you're in their presence, you're the answer. But you can't be the answer if you don't believe or understand. And that's why this whole chapter, and I want to go back and read the verse all over again, where it talks about why we're doing what we're doing. Why are we going through this portion? Therefore, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Elementary school, folks. This is elementary school. Let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation, the bottom line of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and the laying on of hands. And that's what this chapter is about. Laying hands on people. You know, we see that in this church often. You need to know that a lot of churches don't do that. Most churches don't lay hands on people. And most churches won't teach you to lay hands on people. I remember once I was in Orange, Massachusetts, preaching a revival service. Oh my goodness, the power of God was just amazing. There was a woman who came, she had agoraphobia. She stood in the back, ready to escape if she could. And the power of God hit that service. And at the end of the service, when everyone left, she made her way to the front. And you could see the fear on her. I could see the spirit of fear on her. And I looked at her, I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that devil to come off you, and I command fear to be released from your life. And literally, her face changed. And she never had that happen again in her life. She never had a problem going into the community, going out into public again. You see, you are the one who has the power of God, just like I do. You are the one who has the power to heal the sick, just like Jesus did. You are the one that God wants to work by the laying on of hands. Elementary school, by the way. The laying on of hands is elementary school. Moms and dads, you should be laying hands on your children all the time. Husbands, you should be laying hands on your wife. And I'm not talking, you know, I'm not talking laying hands on your wife. I'm talking laying hands on your wife, releasing the anointing of the Holy Spirit, watching God touch your spouse. Wives, you should be laying hands on your husband and not hitting them. I'm not talking hitting your husband. Lay hands on your husband and releasing the power of God. You know, we had a woman in this church and her husband was unsaved. And so what happened was I taught her this. And I said, now go home. When he goes to sleep, lay hands on him and release the power of heaven. She waited for him to go to sleep. She laid hands on him and said, and she didn't let, she was really quiet. I released the anointing. And the anointing was released into him. And he sat up and he looked at her and said, what are you doing? out of a dead sleep. Why? Because the anointing is tangible. Everybody knows what tangible means? Tangible. It is transferable. Touchable? Transferable. So it is a tangible reality. The power of God is a tangible reality. So it is not some figurative little religious mindset that we have. And the Bible declares that Jesus did all the miracles, all the signs and wonders because of the anointing. Now I want to talk about how to increase the anointing in your life. How many of you are saved? To then turn to someone and say, I'm anointed. Bam! Revelation for you. Class canceled. No, really, get that. Turn to someone and say, I'm anointed. What does that mean? That means you can cast out devils. You can speak with new tongues. If you touch any dead, the thing it shall not harm you. And when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Look at your hands. There's healing in those hands. Not by might, not by power. It's not you healing them. It's when you learn to release the anointing that God will heal. And I tell this story often, but my son, I was preaching locally back many years ago, probably 1995. And I just got done doing a revival in a church in Big Flats. And God was moving powerfully, signs and wonders. It was great, exciting. I came home, and we lived on Water Street at that point in time. And I walked into the house, and we lived in an apartment, two-bedroom apartment, that you could literally see straight through. I mean, it was two-bedroom. You look, and it's straight through. And all of a sudden, I looked in my bedroom, and there, right straight through, in between the boys' room and our bedroom was the bathroom. And I heard Cody, and then turned and saw Cody puking in the toilet. He was probably no more than 5 or 6 years old. He was 5 years old. And anger rose up in me. And I walked over, laid hands on him, and said, in Jesus' name, I command sickness. You come out of him now. And immediately, he stopped puking. And was not sick another moment. Listen, I didn't have health insurance for my family when I was young because I worked for a church. And I think I made my first pastorate, I made $10 a week. That was my salary, $10 a week, full time. I drove school bus to soften the blow. But you know what? I didn't have health insurance. So you know what? We had to rely on prayer. We prayed over our kids all the time to be healed, and they were. Prayed over my wife to be healed, and they were. We didn't have the money to go to the doctor. You see, this is when you start learning that the anointing resides inside of you and that you are a powerful person. Stop thinking yourself as a religious person. You are a possessed person. You are a person that has God literally dwelling inside of you, and there's nothing that you cannot accomplish by releasing the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your situation, and things will start to break supernaturally and change everything around you. And that's who you are. You know, what is pride? Pride is saying that you are something that you are not. So when you say you're a Christian, just a good Christian, that's prideful. Well, I'm just a believer, prideful, because that's not who you are. When you make the declaration, I am a powerful, supernatural person filled with the Holy Spirit, and God will work through me, and I can do anything in Christ, that's true humility. Because what's humility? Declaring who you are and being who you are. Pride is saying you're something that you're not. Humility is declaring who you actually are. So who are you? Shout it out loud. I am. Spirit-filled. Holy Ghost-filled. Anointed. Supernatural. Healing. Deliverance. New tongues, in Jesus' name, it releases through me. That's who you are. And if you believe anything less, you're full of pride. Because you got to believe who God says you are. It's not who you say you are that's powerful, it's who God says you are that's powerful. When we start really wrapping ourselves around this, then we start grasping that we aren't just somebody walking in the mall. We're not just somebody driving down the street. We're not just somebody at Walmart. We're not just somebody sitting in church. We are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Every one of us in this room. And that anointing abides to do work on behalf of another. That's why you're anointed, to do work on behalf of another. The anointing is only for one purpose, not for you and I to get the oochie-goochies on Sunday morning. The anointing is to do work on behalf of God. That's why you're anointed. Can you imagine if Jesus, who was anointed, remember in Mark chapter 1, he was getting water baptized and the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's the very beginning of the ministry of Jesus when the anointing came upon him. Can you imagine with the anointing coming upon Jesus and the Spirit of God, it was given to him without measure, that Jesus said, "Wow, this is really cool. This feels great." He goes to the wedding at Canaan, the very first miracle, John chapter 1, John chapter 2, and Jesus' mother walks over and says, "Listen, man, I need you to do a miracle." And he goes, "I don't know, I like this stuff, man, but I'm not sharing. This is for me. I just need more anointing." And you get it and you keep it to yourself. Imagine all of a sudden a leper came to Jesus and said, "I need healing." And Jesus says, "Listen, man, this is my stuff, not yours. I got this for me." This is not about you and I keeping. This is about you and I giving. And the more you give, the more you get. So since all of us are already anointed, turn to someone and say, "I'm anointed." Look at your hands. Say, "There's miracles in my hands." Remember the laying on of hands. Why am I saying look at your hands? Because the Bible says when you lay hands on people, the anointing is released. Okay. Anybody ever heard of a conduit? Yeah. A conduit is a pipe that they put electricity through. And so what happens is when you allow yourself to be the conduit of God, then the power of heaven will flow through you. It already abides, but it will flow through you when you allow. Now, listen, we're in a room right now. How many of you like light? You like light? Me too.
You're going to kill our camera.
What did I just do? Now, listen, I want to remind you that the power is created by a dynamo. Now, we don't get our power from Niagara, but if we did, that's the waterfalls. And all of a sudden, there's storage, and then it goes to substations, and then it goes to the telephone pole, and then it goes all the way over to your, what do they call those things? Those big round things? Transformers. And then from the transformers, it comes into your building. And then it comes from your building. It goes into, because you have it wired, it goes into the rooms. But you still have to do something. You still have to flick the switch to get it to work.
And pay your bill.
And pay your bill. That's very important. The good part is Jesus already paid your bill.
Amen.
All right? So watch. Shout, "I'm anointed." Listen, shout it again, "I'm anointed."
I'm anointed.
Is that prideful?
No.
No, that's humility, because that's really who you are. But here's the problem. Shout, "I'm anointed."
I'm anointed.
Nothing's happening. Until you make a decision to be used by God and flick the switch, the light, the power does not come into the room. Until you decide to allow the anointing to flow through you, it will remain in you, but will not touch other people, will not benefit anybody else. This is a decision. You must decide to be used by God. You must decide to allow the anointing to flow out of you. You must decide to start with elementary school, the laying on of hands. That's where it all begins. I remember I had a lady, just saw her not too long ago. This was back in, 1994. Yeah, 1994. She had a horse that had a stick go up through the frog. Now, for those who don't know what that's talking about, on the foot of the horse, there's a soft spot called the frog, and a stick went up. Now, usually they have to put the horse down. So she came to me and she said, "Pastor, this is my favorite horse. What do I do? I said, "Well, it's easy. Go lay hands on your horse." She said, no, really, what should I do? I said, no, really, go lay hands on your horse. You're anointed of the Holy Spirit. Release the power of God. Release healing into your horse, and God will do a miracle. Amen. She went, laid hands on her horse. And the furrier came, and the vet had come already, and then the vet returned and said, I don't understand, but it's going to be fine. She came to me and says, it's going to be fine. I said, duh. You flick the switch. She had a lot of problems with her animals. And she came another day with her spaniel. And the spaniel had a green tint to it. Because the spaniel had eaten some rat poisoning. And the spaniel was going to die. So she said, I'm really sad. I said, I'm not. Watch this. I laid hands on that stupid spaniel. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command, I curse right now the chemicals in the body, and I command health to come to the dog. She took the dog home, and the dog, guess what? Didn't die. The dog got healthy. I've seen people lay hands on their cats. Their cats get healthy. How is that? Well, because the anointing is where? Where's the anointing? It's inside of you. You release the anointing through the laying on of hands. And so when you believe who you are, not prideful, that truly is humility, and you flick the switch of the anointing in your life, power is released. Now here's the issue. Because the church is not teaching this truth and reality of who you are, people die before their time. People die before they're supposed to die. Because the saints of God do not live in the power of God. This is who you are. So there's a need for us to say, okay, Jesus, I thank you that I'm anointed. I know that we all have an anointing. I know that we're starting off, but I need to learn. Now, 1 + 1 = 2. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. 2 × 2 = 4. That's third grade. I just got you up to third grade already. You know, you're learning. But you see, you didn't go into first grade and they threw calculus at you. You started somewhere. And this is where you learn how to practice. This is where you learn how to pray. This is where you learn how to release the anointing. This is where you learn how to increase the anointing. It has to start somewhere. And if it's nothing else, laying hands on yourself. Amen. Who gave that testimony not too long ago? They had major stomach problems. What was that? Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago. Someone had a testimony in the room where they had stomach problems, and we've been teaching this, and they lay hands on themselves, and God healed them. Right. I had a lady in my last church. She had a migraine headache. I'm talking, she had those migraines that, like, debilitated you. She had a migraine headache, and she was on her way back from work. She said, Pastor, I didn't even know if I could make it home. I couldn't even hardly see. She said, so I just remembered that teaching about the laying on of hands. She said, I laid hands on my head, released the anointing that dwelled within me, and I got healed right there in my car by my own hands.
Hey, now, if you lay hands on somebody and release the anointing to them, they have to believe to receive.
No. Okay. Listen. Well, watch now. Whether you believe in electricity or not, if I had something metal, I'd have one of you grab hold of it. Because it really doesn't even matter if you understand it. You got a knife? Awesome. I have a knife, but I don't want to ruin it. I'll use yours. Now, I don't want to blow the fuse. So who would like to stick their finger in this with me? No, I'm just kidding, dude. He would do it too. I love his heart, man. Here, Shem.
It won't hurt long you touch one.
Listen, whether you believe in electricity or not, how many of you as a kid had your hair stand up at least once? You stuck something in it you weren't supposed to stick, you grabbed the hold of something electrical? Whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, if you touch it, the power is still released. Because it's already coming. It's already coming to the room. The power is already in the room. So when you release the anointing, I don't want to get ahead of myself. When you release the anointing, whether they agree or don't agree, the power of God goes into them. Whether they react or don't react, it really doesn't matter. Because the anointing is doing work. Well, what's the purpose of the anointing? to do work on behalf of God. So the moment you lay hands on somebody, release the power of God in their life, immediately the supernatural is released in their life, and God starts to work. That's the power of heaven. Yes?
I was going to say, like, the one time you gave us all the cards, and we all, you know,
yes.
Stuff, and then we were to pass them off with them.
Yes. Wow, it's been a long time. People grab my handkerchief. Someone grabbed my handkerchief on Sunday. Well, why is that? Because as it said in Acts chapter 19, special miracles were wrought by the hand of Paul. What happened was as he was preaching, the anointing, tangible, saturated his clothing, and they came up and took pieces of his clothing, and they brought it back, and wherever that was touched, sicknesses came out and devils came out. You remember when Jesus... He was on his way to Jairus' house, and a woman with the issue of blood came up through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. Because the anointing is tangible, and this is what he said, who touched me? He actually felt the power, the power of God being released from his clothing. Who touched me? And the disciples said, what are you talking about? Can't you see all these people? They're thronging you. That means they're all bumping up against you. There's people all around you. No. Somebody touched me. And what happened was, she touched the hem of his garment because the anointing is tangible and transferable. It went from his clothing into her body and dried up her disease and sickness that she had for all those years that nobody else could cure. That's you. Oh, not the one running through the crowd. You're the one people need to touch. Because you are anointed. And sadly enough, this is not taught in the kingdom. So the people of God remain weak. You can't remain weak anymore. We got too much work to do for one man to do.
Amen.
It's not a one man job.
Amen.
There is no Lone Ranger.
Amen.
Even he had Tonto. Okay? So we've got to clear our heads because you only receive what you believe. Yes. Is it really? Well, we better have a Pentecostal movement on Sunday. You do understand what you see a lot in this church, you don't see in a lot of churches. The power of God being released here. It is an abnormal scenario, especially in our region. But you see, we're training the people of God to believe who they are. That's not pride, that's humility. So let's talk about how to increase the anointing. So shout, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
But we need to increase. Now watch now, in this building, when we built it, the man who did the electrical really messed up. He forgot to do the loads on the air conditioners. Can you imagine being in this building with no air conditioning? That would be really bad. So he came to me, listen, the mortgage is set. $1.175 million. The mortgage is done. And he says, Pastor, we got a problem. I'm thinking in my head, I'm going to hit you. Because he said, I forgot to do the load, so it's going to be $40,000 more to get phase three to the building.
Ooh.
Well, I can't get another loan. Loan's shut. It would cost $100,000 in fees to get the loan through our company that we were working with. That's way too much money. So we had to take it out of the church's fund. That was dried up all of our savings. But what was amazing is the power was run to the building. But we needed more power to run this building. You see, you have the power of God dwelling inside of you, and there's enough power for you. But when we come into situations where we need God to work in a stronger, more miraculous manner, we need more power. We need 600 amps.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yes. We've got to increase the power of God. We've got to increase the anointing, and you can increase the anointing. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed without measure. John chapter 3, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. We know that Elisha received a double portion, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And so it was then when he crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I am taken away from you. Elisha said, please give me a double portion of your Spirit and let it be upon me. We know that the anointing is stronger in the corporate anointing. One shall put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000. Psalms 133, behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. You see, unity always brings more power because it's called synergy. Every one of us have the anointing. But what happens when all the anointing gets coagulated together, you have your 600 amps. That's why going to church isn't just going to church. It's getting in the corporate anointing. And in the corporate anointing, there's greater faith. In the corporate anointing, there's greater power. In the corporate anointing, you find synergy. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing that flows down over the head of Aaron, down over his beard, down over his clothes. And the Bible says it's there that the commanded blessing is released. So we find that there Jesus had the anointing without measure. We see that Elisha received a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. We see that in the corporate anointing, the anointing is increased through synergy. We see that the anointing is constantly and has the capability of being measured and increased. And that's why, honestly, some people move more in the power of God than others. It's not that the Spirit of God is any different, but what's happened is the anointing is stymied because of usage or lack thereof. The more you use the anointing, the more you increase in the anointing. The more there's a demand for energy. Let me say it one more time. The more there's a demand for energy, the more will be released. And it won't even cost you $40,000. You see, we needed and demanded more energy to have air conditioners here. We had to pay to bring it down and to get it done. Three phase. But you know what? We don't have to pay. Jesus already paid. Amen. Therefore, all the energy of heaven, all the anointing of heaven, all the power of heaven is available to us if we put a draw on the anointing. So why do most people never see the power of God released through their life? Is very few people ever release the power of God through their life. Very few people flip the switch. Where's the anointing? Where's the anointing? Until you flick the switch, it never goes out. You see that? It is stopped at the panel. Until you choose to release the anointing, it is never going to come out. And when you need more, when you need three phase, you don't need to go up to the road and tap in. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of you. He'll release as much as you need. The challenge with believers is because we've been taught that this is just for the chosen few, that so few release the presence of heaven, or that we need to go find, you know, that special evangelist. I need to get on the road and go find a special evangelist to lay hands on me. Listen, the same Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Listen, until we apprehend this truth, then we're going to be constantly chasing directions we shouldn't be chasing. And guess what happens? Your friends die on the vine because you're always waiting for, well, let me get them to church so Pastor Spencer can lay hands on them. Listen, I don't want miracles to happen on Sunday mornings. What? I want miracles to happen Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That's right. Amen.
And not in the building. I want it to happen at Walmart. I want it to happen in Tops. I want it to happen down at not at the bar.
No.
I want it to happen in your homes. I want it to happen in the hospitals. I want you to go through and start emptying out hospital rooms. Glory to God. I mean, all of this is so powerful. It's so powerful because this is really who you are. And we've been keeping the body of Christ so submerged in religion that we don't recognize that this is elementary, my dear. This is elementary school. When you learn to lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And God is just waiting for you to flick the switch. But what if nothing happens? But what if it does? Well, it didn't work that time. We'll do it again. You'll learn how to flow in the anointing. You'll learn how to release the power of God. One plus one is, it's not calculus day one. You got to learn where to start. And you start where you live. Lay hands on everything, on everybody in your house. Spit on it if you got it. I don't care. Just do what you got to do. Man, you just walk around and you look at your wife and you go, hey, I'm just going to lay hands on you for a minute. Don't touch me, honey. No, no, I mean, not like that. I'm going to lay hands on you. And you just release the power of God. God heals. I saw God heal a car once. At Bible college, this poor woman, man, her car died, and she didn't have a pot to pee in the wind. And, you know, I remember walking out into the student parking lot, and there she's crying over her car. And I said, watch, man, God will heal your car. She goes, oh, I've never heard of that before. I said, it don't matter whether you heard of it. Watch this. I laid hands on her. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to start and have no more problems. I said, now get in your car. You're going to start. She got in her car. Vroom, start right up. Because God loves to do miracles. But God has chosen to work through his people. Oh, let me say it one more time. God has chosen to work through his people. How many of you are his people? Say, I'm a people's.
I'm a people's.
Are you the people of God? He chose to work through you. So when you never flick the switch of the anointing in your life, the people around you can't get touched. Has anybody ever peed on a fence before? Electric fence? Electric fence. I just want you to know it's really not wise. Yeah, it's not a good situation. And I am talking a little bit out of experience. So I had a friend named Sean, and you know, this is separate from the peeing on the fence. It does follow water. And I remember it was really fun because Sean and I used to do this all the time. You know, who could grab the other person first? We'd go by a fence and one would grab and you grab your friend. Be a conduit. It's a lot of fun. I said, until you choose to be used by God, the anointing just stays in you and you never release the power of heaven. And if you never release the power of heaven, then you're never going to be really used for the supernatural in great manners, because it takes some practice. You know, the first time you ever do anything, it's like, ooh, I don't know really what I'm doing. But after you do it a few times, you get a little comfortable. And then after you do it for a month, you really can get into this thing. It's working. And the more you do, the more you practice, the more you flick the switch, the more it's normal. Right now, for many of you, the laying on of hands is abnormal. Maybe you've never been taught, or maybe you come from a church that didn't allow it or anything like that. But I don't care what anybody does or anybody says. It's the word that matters. Amen? Amen. And he says that this is elementary school. We should all be laying hands on everybody and everything in the name of Jesus and releasing the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They don't even have to know. I had a girl named Gigi up in Newfield, and Gigi, she played drums. Remember Gigi? And she's just a wild woman, man. She's just a wild woman. Well, she got a job working at the Ithaca High School as a hall monitor. And, you know, she was bold. So she went in and she started talking to them all about Jesus. She got pulled into the office real quick. She said, you can't do that. You can't do that. So she says to me, Pastor, I know God sent me there to do, you know, the works of heaven. I said, oh, Gigi, you don't need to say anything. You're anointed, aren't you? Well, yes. I says, then what you start walking and doing is you walk up to these kids that you know are full of hell and you lay hands on them, and inside your spirit, you just release the anointing. She said, really? I said, that's all you got to do is release the anointing. You don't got to say nothing.
You just got to think it.
You just got to release. It's, yeah, because where's the anointing? Inside of you. You don't got to go, come out! In your spirit, where's the Holy Spirit dwell? In your spirit. So where's the power of God? In your spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's God. He's the one who brooded over the earth at creation. Is there anything not available to the Holy Spirit? So when you touch somebody, all you got to do is, in your spirit, release the power of God. And the anointing will go through your hand and into them. Really? Yeah. Don't make it difficult, man. Jesus made this simple. That's why it's elementary school. He said, this is simple stuff. Now, listen, you can step into greater levels of faith in releasing the anointing. And the greater the crowd is what you have to do. By the spoken word, we'll get into some of those later. But it all starts with the laying on of hands. All starts with the laying on of hands. Now, the anointing, one of the greatest ways to increase the anointing in your life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm afraid of that. Why? Listen, you don't need to be afraid of a gift from God. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. I've never seen someone get filled with the Holy Spirit and say, that was horrible. Oh my goodness, I'm scared of myself. No. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, man, the Bible says, and you shall receive power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive power. The word is dunamis. You shall receive supernatural ability after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you should be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is so imperative because it is another dynamo in your life. You know what a dynamo is, right? The water hits it, and it starts to spin. Then it starts picking up, and you start getting momentum and more energy and more power. The faster it turns, the more power, the more energy you have. And this is what happens as you're praying in tongues, stirring up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands. And these signs shall follow them that believe. All of a sudden, it is just a flow in your life. But if you never lay hands on anybody, you never flick the switch, where's the power reside? Where's the power supposed to be? Outside. See, this is where we learn to be givers instead of just takers. Because the anointing is not for you only. You know, that touch of God that you go, I just felt Jesus. You know what's really funny is a lot of people, when they think about revival, they think about, you know, oh my goodness, everyone just laid out in the spirit and, you know, the anointing is just so powerful. And no, that's not revival. That's the energizing of the saints. True revival is when you take it outside the church and you take it to the people that need it. You find a friend who's sick, you lay hands on him, and God heals them. We just had a really cool testimony today of a young lady whose life has been absolutely transformed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And she's actually in this room tonight. I don't want to say anything, Cassie. Somebody she works with went to my wife today and said, I don't know what you did with Cassie, but I've known her and she is a totally different person. Totally different person. No, she said, no, really, she is a totally different person.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's what changes a life.
That's right.
Jesus is the only one that can change a life. Amen. And it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. Even this last weekend, she had an experience with the Lord. Jesus changes lives. And that's revival, is when your friends start catching the fire.
Yeah.
So the stronger your anointing is, the more people recognize God, not you. They start recognizing something's changed about you. Something's different about you. I don't understand what's happening. Well, it's Jesus. Well, and you know what? They can start their I don't believe in Jesus thing, but they can't deny the change in you. That's the anointing. So you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Turn to someone and say, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not sure about that. Listen, on Sunday morning, if you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, I want you to come up front. We're going to lay hands on you on Sunday morning, and we'll lay hands on Pentecost Sunday and get you baptized in the Holy Ghost on Pentecost Sunday, all right? Because everyone needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. Now, once you're filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, you also need to be refilled. Acts chapter 4, verse 27 through 31, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose is determined before it to be done. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. I want to remind you, they were filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. They were refilled in Acts chapter 4. Now you see, crap. Now I need it. Do we have another full one, Tara, real close? A full one? Good, and I can drink this one. Now watch. I want to show you why it's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to continue to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Is because how many of you live real life? Yes. I hope you all raise your hand. If not, we got issues. How many of you are around sinners?
Yes.
How many of you are sinners? No, don't raise your hand. Cast it out of you. Nope, you're not. Once you're born again, you're not a sinner any longer. You're a saint. The Bible says you have a new nature, a divine nature in 1 Peter chapter 1. You now have the nature of God, the very character of God. You are no longer a sinner. Your sinful nature has been broken. Romans chapter 6, you are no longer a slave to sin, but you are to Christ. Okay? So you don't have to sin every day. You choose to sin. So what happens is this. This is like you and I, we are the bottle, and the anointing is the water. A lot of people start giving out of what they need. You need water, right? I need this water. We give out of what we need, then we don't have enough for ourselves. You should only be giving out of your excess. You should only give out of your excess. What do you got left? You're full. How much I got left? Only give out of your excess. That's why the more you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the more you pray in the Holy Spirit, the more you stir up the gift of God that's within you by the Holy Spirit, you're not giving out of your need, you're giving out of your excess, so you're always full. So you need to pray and be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to speak in tongues. I love what Paul said. I speak in tongues more than you all. Pray in tongues all the time, often and always. Driving down the road, pray in other tongues. Turn off the country station, hallelujah, and pray in tongues. Turn off the Christian radio and pray in tongues. Amen. Oh, that's my granddaughter. Pray in tongues. The more you pray in tongues, the more you stir up the power of God in your life. The more you increase the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's like a cistern, you know. It's like a big pot. You know, you start off, you got a pot this big. But the more you increase in prayer, the more you increase in the anointing, guess what happens? Your pot gets bigger. The more you're able to hold, the more you're able to release, the more you're able to sustain. It's like a drunk. You know, not that any of you have ever drank in this room. But let's just say possibly you did. Man, the first time you went out drinking, maybe it only took 3 beers before you were tipsted.
I actually have the Lord.
After you did 3 beers for a while, you went to a 6-pack. And then it took a 6-pack to get you a little tippy. Then a 12-pack. It took 4 shots of tequila and a 12-pack. And after a while, your body was able to handle more alcohol. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more you increase your capabilities of handling and housing a stronger anointing. And you need it. Are you out there? So, and then you just need to do it. Everybody say, just do it. You need to start praying for people. Don't be a slug. Amen. You got to pray for people. Well, I don't know. They might not receive. I've been doing this a long time. I think maybe only 2 or 3 people have ever told me they didn't want prayer. That's it. Even people who don't believe in God don't mind prayer. I had a man, his nickname was Stubbs, and he had no legs. And that was his nickname, Stubbs. And it's true. It was in Harvey's Lake, Pennsylvania. So Stubbs was dying. And we went and we sat down with Stubbs, and he was a hardened dude, man. His heart was hard. And we said, Stubbs, do you mind if we pray for you? Oh, no, preacher, you pray on, man, you pray on. We prayed for him, and I said, now, Stubbs, would you like to accept Jesus? I don't want your religious crap. He didn't mind me praying for him, but he didn't want to accept Jesus. I found very few people that will turn away prayer. Very few. Very, very few. And so, you know, you can't do it while you're working. You know, if someone's paying you to do a job, you do your job. You wait for break. And you say, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? Oh, well, you know, they'll let you pray for them. I told you the story a few weeks ago. I was at Tops. And a guy said to me, hi, Pastor Spencer, how are you? And that always freaks me out. And you see, I'm in people's living rooms every week. They know who I am. I've never met them. They all think they know me. I don't know them. Hi, Pastor Spencer, how are you? Nope, no clue. Sitting there, and he starts talking to me, and I guess I had met him at an archery shoot somewhere. And I don't remember. I had no clue. And no, it was an old age. It was simply, I had no clue. And he had problems with his, I think it was his hip or his knee or something like that. And I'm walking out. My wife and I paid, and we're walking out, and the Holy Spirit said, why don't you pray for him? Go pray for him. And immediately, I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been a preacher. It's like, well, you know. And I turned around, and I went back, and I said, can I pray for you? He goes, sure. And I grabbed his hand, gave him a hand, firm handshake, not a sissy handshake, a firm handshake. And I prayed right out loud for him right there in Tops. And I got done. He said, thank you. And the girl that was at the register says, man, you just don't see that anymore. You got to do it. You got to find people who are sick. Don't be ashamed to pray for them. They want some help. And man, once the anointing leaves your body and touches their life, man, God can heal them. You want to know something? You can preach 1,000 sermons, but one time God touches them supernaturally with the healing power of Christ or deliverance or with encouragement or with just the presence of Jesus, God changes their whole life in milliseconds, what other people cannot do forever. But he's restrained. God is restrained because we never flick the switch. You've got to increase the anointing.
Have you ever had anybody say no?
Have I ever had somebody say, it's so few, I can't even remember them.
You walk away and
I'll pray for them silently. But you know, ultimately, to them, they've rejected even the opportunity.
Right.
So they haven't rejected you. They've rejected the opportunity. You know, I always say, somebody calls me on the phone and says, well, you know, so-and-so has cancer, and the doctor says they're going to die. I said, well, bring them to church. They've got nothing to lose, right?
Right. Yeah.
He still won't bring them to church. Duh.
So if they reject that, is that them rejecting Jesus and they're going to have to answer?
Oh, well, that's their opportunity. Some people die before their time. Some people struggle with life because they never receive the anointing to set them free. Now, listen, I prayed for people in rooms where literally, and I did, it was in Cortland, New York. I had a guy, Joey Clark, was my catcher. He came up with me as I was doing a revival services. I didn't know the church, didn't know if they had ushers, so I brought my own guy. And I'm laying hands on a person right here, and the anointing was so strong. And I just released the anointing, and Joey went out in the spirit. Because that person wasn't receptive. So the anointing went right around, tangible, touchable, releasable, hit Joey and out. I told him, get up. We got work to do. You know, I was in Frederick, Maryland, and there was 30 people standing over here in the prayer line, and I just didn't have time to pray with them all. I was getting tired. And so I just said, everybody lift your hands. Here comes the anointing. And I released the anointing. Go. And all of them went out in the spirit at the same time.
Awesome.
There was no one standing up. There was no catcher standing up. No one standing up. They're all laying on the floor.
Awesome.
Because the anointing, I've been working in the anointing for such a period of time that my cistern is large. And I'm able to understand how to release, how to flow. But if you never start, you can't get there. You got to start. That means you got to find people this week to pray for. Every cat, every dog, every horse, every car. What if it doesn't work? Practice makes perfect. And you'll learn how to release. I've got to see where we are. Okay, we're going to have to wait one more week for the next one. So let me finish it this way. Wow, what a great night, huh?
Yeah.
Anybody here, you know, I've been accused of owning a Lamborghini. It's at my log cabin cottage on the beach. Glory to Jesus. Lord, I accept the log cabin on the lake in Jesus' name and the Lamborghini for the glory of God. Been accused of a lot of stuff. So anyways. They said, I got a Lamborghini. Well, let me tell you something. If I'm going to have a Lamborghini, I want a black Lamborghini. And I want the rims to be red. And I want that thing so sleek. I want every vent to be red. Hot off the black. I want red plush leather in all the seats with black trim around them. And I don't want just the regular Lamborghini engine. I want it so stoked up that I'm going to have problems keeping tires on it coming out of 10th gear if there is one. I want that thing to be a screaming beast. So let's just say I have a Lamborghini. It's worth $450,000 with all the additives on there. Okay, come on, let's be honest. $600,000 with all the additives on there. I go to the gas station and I don't fill it up with 87. 93. I want the highest octane I can get in there. I might even just stop over at the racetrack and get a little extra energy. You know what I mean? I take that Lamborghini and I park it out in back of my barn. And I walk out every once in a while and look at it. That's a nice car. That's a fast car. That's a good looking car. So I go in the house about a week later, come out, look at that car. That's a nice car. That's a fast car. That's a good car. That's the best car I've ever owned. Come back a week later. That's a nice car. That's a fast car. Man, I got a nice car. come back another month. Wow, that's a nice car. That's a fast car. A year goes by. I got mice nesting. I don't care how good the fuel is in it. I don't care how nice the car is. Unless you use it, it's really no good. That's a nice car. That's a fast car. But you never... Yeah.
There you go.
That's the issue, isn't it? The problem is, you're all that Lamborghini. Every one of you are a Lamborghini filled with high-test gasoline. You come every Sunday and you look at, that's a nice church. That's a nice chair. That's a good sermon. And you never take it out on the road. Elementary school is lay hands on the sick. Release the anointing. You're the conduit of God. I'm really not sure what I'm doing. Who cares? Practice on yourself. Find your spouse and say, listen, I'm practicing on you. What do you mean? What are you doing? You got to release it. Ah, boy. Okay. I'll end with this. Didn't I already say that once?
Yeah.
It's a habit. Wasn't it exciting on Sunday? I got done. I was so short. Wasn't it cool on Sunday? I was short. It was different, wasn't it? I was very proud of myself. Yes.
Your control. As your uncle,
right? Yeah.
Said, you drive it. Sitting here, it's just like the Holy Spirit. I'm sitting next to this gentleman. I'm just using you as an example. And the power of God comes on me, and I go with the anointing. And he's sitting here like, and the word the Lord gave me intimidates him.
Mm-hmm.
There's people in here that are intimidated and stop because you're intimidated, not even afraid. But once again, you're looking at the person and not the power.
Right.
The word intimidation is just be broken in Jesus'
name. Amen. Amen. Actually, I had a man come visit me, and he said the first time he met me, he was very intimidated by me. I'm the easiest guy in the world, man. What are you talking about intimidated? He says, well, the way you sat in your chair. And you know something? Their perception. This is so easy. This is elementary school. Now, this is how I work with the anointing. Sometimes I feel the anointing. I'll feel it like a coat come on me. Sometimes I'll feel like the sensation's almost like water coming from the top of my head and it goes all the way down my body. But let me tell you how I release the anointing. I'm jumping a little bit ahead because I don't want to leave you. If I'm telling you to go do something, I want you to tell you how it works with me. The anointing works different for everybody. And it's some people just need to say, I release the anointing. Some people... They have to feel something. And I'm telling you right now, you have to feel nothing. This has nothing to do with feelings. This is fact. This is truth. The truth shall make you free. You are anointed. So the moment you lay hands on somebody, the anointing is released. Now, how I see it is, in my town, there was a town pump. And when we were done basketball or something, we'd go up to the town pump. And it was one of those old ones. And it took two or three times to get it primed. And then, boom, once it was primed, that water, crystal clear and freezing cold, came just bursting out of that town pump. And so in my spirit, when I pray for people, I a lot of times see the town pump. If you ever see me pray for somebody, usually it's like, come on up here. Usually it's like this, and I don't know if you can see me or not, but watch my feet. You can't see my feet. I'd stand on there, but I'm too fat. Behave. They just cleaned this, so I'm really sorry. Right? Can you see me? A lot of times when I'm praying for somebody, because this is how I release the anointing, because everyone's a little bit different. Some people speak it. Sometimes you'll hear me speak it. Sometimes you'll see me up front at church during worship. I'll just be releasing the anointing. I'll go like that. And you might say, well, what's he doing? When I'm doing that, I feel the presence and the power of God, and I release it into the congregation. And what I've been asking the Holy Spirit to do is I really want to actually see it go. I want to see it. I want to see it, even if it's just once. I want to see it go. But what will happen is for me, because of the town pump, in my spirit, many times when I pray for you, I'm very light with the hand. You see some preachers go whack. I'm not like that. I don't need to put you out that bad. Okay? What you usually see me do is I'm very soft with the hands, and then you'll see me rock up on my heel, and I'll come down. That's the town pump. Every time I come down, there's a release. And then in my spirit, sometimes you'll hear me go, you'll hear me, because Jesus blew on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So that's another way. But no matter what, I know this. Now, whether he feels anything or not, it doesn't really matter. I know that the anointing is going into him. I know that God's presence is doing something in him right now, because I know he came with needs. And I know the Holy Spirit's now working just right there. Sometimes you hear me say, here comes another dose. Because I can feel it. I can feel the anointing bubble. I'll go up. And the anointing will just go right into a person. I mean, we've seen some dynamic miracles in this church. Physical healings. We've seen people delivered from every kind of imagination you could ever have. People filled with the Holy Spirit. People crumble under the presence of the Lord. My favorite is watching somebody who's never experienced the presence of Jesus, their eyeballs popping out of their head. The first time they know it's real. It's real, isn't it? But the fact is that the anointing is doing work on behalf of another. I see it a lot like an IV. And sometimes when I'm dealing with people who have blood issues, I'll actually have them raise their hands and I'll go just like this. Because in the spirit, I see the anointing flowing just like an IV. And God will just start working in their body, start working in their heart, start healing their heart, start transforming them just simply by touching them. See, it's not you. It's not you. It's who's in you, working through you as a conduit. So he's just waiting for you to make yourself available so he can touch Steve. Because Steve needs touch, yes?
Yes.
God changes lives that way. Well, I don't feel anything, Pastor. I've had times, man, when I prayed for hundreds, not tens, but hundreds of people, and never felt a blessed thing. Has nothing to do with feelings. Has to do with truth. The truth makes you free. The truth is that you're anointed. Say amen.
Amen.
The truth is that when you lay hands, the anointing's released.
Amen.
Fact. That's it. Has nothing to do with feelings. Some of the greatest miracles God has worked in our ministry, I never felt a blessed thing. You know why he did that to me? To make sure I realize it wasn't about you. You're not the miracle worker. You're just the conduit that I'm flowing through. You can't get prideful that way. Pride is thinking that you're the healer. You're not the healer. You're the conduit for the healer. You're not the deliverer. You're the conduit for the deliverer. You're the person he wants to work through. But if you never flick the switch, the people around you can never see the light.
Amen.
Did you get that one?
Yeah.
If you never flick the switch, the people around you will never see the light. Amen?
Amen.
Next week we'll talk about how to release it. Releasing the anointing. We'll have you practice next week, is all right? So we'll have you practice releasing the anointing next week in the room. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. Yay! Okay? But there's different ways to release the anointing. So we're going to teach you elementary school, and then I'm going to show you some of the graduate student stuff. Okay? So that as you grow, you'll say, oh yeah, you talked about that in Rock Solid Faith. Okay? Is that good?
Yeah.
So let me just pray. Father, I release your anointing in Jesus' name. Now, just like a well, you ever seen a bucket go down into a well and you got to reel it back up? Sometimes you got to make yourself, Lord, I want. And so you start digging. Expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. When you have expectation, there's a draw on the anointing. Where there is no expectation, there is no draw on the anointing. So the anointing can be there, and I can release it, and it will go right around you and hit the person next to you. So you don't want to miss this. That's why you don't come to church just to go to church. You go to church with an expectation of having God change your life. And you'll get it right where you're at. So ready? If you want just a touch of the anointing, just raise your hands. You don't have to raise your hands. Not everybody has to. If you don't want it, you're good. There's no condemnation. Father, Holy Spirit, you are in this room right now. And Lord, I thank you for your anointing. Now, Lord, your people are hungry. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Touch them with your anointing. In Jesus' name. Now, God, I pray that they will feel a tangible touch from you today. That whomever leaves this room, no matter where they are, they will actually feel your presence at home, in bed, when they get up in the morning. Show them, teach them, Holy Spirit. You are our teacher. Teach them about how you want to use their life to change others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Some of you are going to feel when the anointing comes on you to work miracles and to work in people's lives, you're actually going to feel it's almost like a pinch on the end of your finger. Holy Spirit just told me that. It's going to be on your left hand. So you're going to know that. When you feel that, you're going to go, oh, that's me. And you'll say, oh, Jesus, I'm going to go pray for somebody now. So some of you are going to be in the presence of people that need prayer this week, and the Holy Spirit's going to remind you by touching your left pointer finger at the very top. You're going to feel the pressure on that finger. That's when you're supposed to move. Okay? That's for everybody in the room. So when you feel that, don't be intimidated. God's telling you he's going to back you up. Okay? Any questions? Yes. Well, what you can do is you can go to the, are they at the hospital? Then you can say, would it be all right if I go to the hospital and pray for them? And if you're intimidated to do that because, you know, this is new to you, then you call Pastor Dan, you say, I need you to go to the hospital and pray with me for this person. And you want to be there because you want to learn how to flow. Amen? Pastor Dan laid hands on you. Amen? Got a miracle. He was a miracle, Pastor Dan laying hands. Pastor Dan's moves very powerfully in the anointing. He learned right here, right in the house, just like you are. So you say, would you mind if my pastor and I come visit him, you in the hospital? You always want to get permission. I always ask permission from the family because they get really mad when you show up and you lay hands on them. Oh, great. Yeah, then you want to definitely have Pastor Dan go with you, lay hands on them in the name of Jesus. I believe God can raise people up all the time. I've seen it all the time. God does that real easy. If God can make you, God can heal you. We've even had people with metal pins in their body. The metal pins have come out. That was in the school. I had a word of knowledge about somebody with pins in their ankle, and they're heating up right now. And that guy started freaking out because the pins started heating up. And he went back to the doctor, and the pins were gone. Gone. They're not even in his body any longer. Supernaturally, no doctor took them out. That's not strange. That's easy for God, isn't it? Yeah. Is that easy for God or not? Yeah. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, if you can't believe God can take pins out, what are you? You're in big trouble. I had one person say to me, because there's a guy down in Florida who's laying hands on bald guys and their hair were growing back. And a guy said, well, I don't believe in that. I don't believe God can do that. And I said, for goodness sakes, who do you want to get glory? Hair club for men or Jesus Christ? If God can't grow hair back, then there's big trouble. You know, there's nothing impossible if you only believe. And the anointing with expectation changes lives.